Good morning. Welcome to Village Baptist Church. I am Casey Malatesta, filling in for Joe Malatesta, who's not feeling well this morning. I'd like to welcome you to Village Baptist. If you are visiting, I especially welcome you this morning. And if you are visiting, I invite you to fill out a visitor's card that's in the pew pocket in front of you. Or if you prefer, there is a QR code in your bulletin. If you click on that, you'll go to a form, and it'll give us a chance to get to know you and get some information from you. Before we get started this morning, let's all stand up and take a minute to say hello to one another, and when the music starts, please return to your seats. Starting with our watch night service that will be at 8 o'clock this New Year's Eve. Before I get to that, let's welcome Reverend Stephanie Ouellette, who will be preaching for us this morning. We're glad to have you here today with us. So if you have not signed up yet to be a buddy or request a buddy for your child, please do that. You can see Renee Deering if you have any questions about the program. It's a lot of fun for both the kids and the buddies, so please consider that. We are looking for special music for winter or spring. I know y'all get tired of hearing me, so somebody else, come on out, come on down. I've sat in the congregation, and I've heard people behind me, and I've thought, that person can sing nicely. If you are not comfortable singing alone, that's fine. You know what? We can get a couple people together. We'll sing as a group. That's always a fun thing to do. So if you are interested, you can contact Carlin Thompson to sign up, and just pick one Sunday. There's 52 of them. Just pick one. There are offering envelopes if you would like one. They're no longer needed, but you can get a box of envelopes if you'd like to have some out in the narthex. If you need to make special offerings, if you just mark that on your check, it will go to a special offering. Otherwise, it just goes into the general fund. So envelopes will also be provided in pews if you choose to use them as well. If you have not picked up your beautiful poinsettias, please pick those up today and take them home. The Village Voice is out. So if you don't get your voice by email, please pick up your copy today. And also, we have a little lost and found out in the narthex. So if there's something out there that you see that belongs to you, please take it home with you. Otherwise, it may get donated somewhere. So if there's something out there today, please make sure you take that home with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We're going to sing another Christmas carol or two over the next couple of weeks, and then we'll pack them away for the year. But today we're going to sing Joy to the World. Please stand and join me as we sing.
Village. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time as we continue to celebrate the birth, the rebirth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in our lives once again. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God that we have a Savior and that we no more have to let sin and sorrow reign. It is my pleasure, my honor to be with you again this morning as we gather together in worship. It is the time in our service where we turn our hearts and minds to the members of this congregation to see what joys and concerns you would like to share with us. At this time, we will turn the cameras off so that we may be intimate and private and share intimately what may be on our hearts and minds. And for those of you who are worshiping with us virtually, if you have a prayer concern, please type it in the chat, and we will be sure to include you in our prayers at this time and in the days to come. So at this time, whosoever will, if you have something you want to share, please do so at this time. Let's bring our virtual worshipers back on and let us pray. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. Gracious and almighty God, we come before you today in worship, first and foremost, with thanksgiving and with praise in our hearts. For you and you alone are God, and you have the whole world in your hands. Who are we that you are even mindful of us? Yet you do. You have placed us just a little bit lower than the angels. God, we thank you that things are as well as they are. We thank you for this Christmas season where we celebrate where we remember, where we recall the greatest gift that we will ever receive in the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to stand between us and sin, to bridge the gap, so that we may have a full and fruitful life and relationship with you. For this, Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you. And yet, God, we come because we have a relationship with you, and we can be who we are because you have made us in your image to share with you some of our earthly concerns, the things that continue to challenge us, our physical bodies, like cancer and sickness and all of these things that we are challenged with. But we trust you in all things as we grow in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we believe that you are a healer and that healing takes form in many places, whether it be through physical healing of the body or in peace, in restoring peace to our minds as we go through whatever situations we are going through. So all of our cares and concerns, the sickness, we lift this up to you. We're thankful, oh God, for travel, for the technology that and the means to go from far places to near places so that we can be with our family and loved ones that we care about. We thank you for those that have traveled to be with their families right here with us, and we ask that you would bless them going home, that you would return them safely to their places, and that all will be well when they return. The joy of family and community is one of the many gifts that you have given us, along with the ability to gather in worship so that we may turn off the busyness of the world, that we would put our cares aside for just a moment and remember what it's all about. Jesus is the reason for the season. Community is how you allow us to be involved in your work here on earth. And now, oh God, continue to lead and be present in this worship service today. Let us experience you in the love, in the hugs, in the singing, and this preached word that will come forth from this, your humble servant. This time is yours, Lord, and all of these things we pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Mary's baby, in the name of Jesus, we lift this prayer. Amen.
Guess what? It is time for the children's story. Oops. Oh, we just have the just the one family today. Oh, great, we got more. Good morning, good morning. You guys having a good Christmas? Yeah. Anything exciting you can tell me about? Maybe we can talk about it afterwards. So, I wanted to talk about a bundle of joy. Were you ever a bundle of joy for someone? Were you ever a bundle of joy? Were you ever wrapped up in a bundle? They're looking back to get their cue. I don't know. Do you remember the first time you were bundled up? Probably a little bit before that, I bet. So, probably when you were a baby, somebody bundled you up because they want to keep you nice and warm and nice and warm and snuggly. So they bundled you up and then they put you in somebody's arms. They held it a little closer than that. You want to hold on to my bundle for me for a minute? Okay, because there's some special stuff in there. So, a reason I'm talking about a bundle of joy is because you may have seen something flash up on the screen about special deliveries in January. Now, you two are veterans of this program, the Buddy Program. Ah, you become a bundle of joy for somebody in this church. And what I wanted to talk about was a buddy program, mainly for you guys. I know you guys know all about it. But there may be some adults that aren't quite familiar with the program. So I asked Elijah to come up and talk to us about his experience with being in the buddy program. Elijah was in the buddy program back in 2010. So that was 14 years ago and going on 15 years ago. And I was actually his first buddy. And I lucked up. So I was trying to help Elijah jog his memory. Do you remember being in the buddy program, what you did, what that buddy was like? And so he's had other buddies over the years. Am I stepping on your toes or should I tell them who? So he's had Colleen, he had Dave. I think I'm missing one other person. Colleen, Dave, are you out there? Okay, I see Colleen, but I thought there was a fourth one. 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. Anyway, I know he's had several buddies, but I just thought maybe the congregation would like to hear about, what he thought about the buddy program?
Good morning, everybody. You guys heard, you know, I was a buddy back in the day. So, been a while, so don't really know the program. However, just came to share my knowledge with you guys, you know, encourage you. For you guys' buddy coming up, you know, just want to know, raise a hand, how many of you guys like making friends at school? Okay. Me too, I like making friends, so. That's what the buddy program was for me. I had the opportunity to make a couple of friends over the years, and you know, making friends is fun. You know, have somebody who you could talk to, people who are there for you, and you let them know about how your school day went, or how you felt about the lesson at church, or anything like that. And then once you get to the ripe old age that I'm at, you know. 20 years, you know. Well, once you get to my old age, then you'll be able to have some friends that you can call on and still communicate with whenever you want to. And, you know, they'll still be there for you even when you get to my old age. So, yeah, that's all.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Elijah. And if there are adults out there that have been buddies, if you don't mind standing for me, and Jordan and Avery and young lady, you can see who these people are that support you in the church. You see them all? Yes, Avery's got a buddy out there. So all these people have in some way volunteered over the years to pray for you. Pray for our youth, and just see them on Sunday and say, hi, how are you doing? How did you like that Cowboys game? Right? I have no one that says anything about that. But these are people that support you, and there's an old African proverb that says, it takes a village to raise a child. And that's what I think about the Buddy Program, and I hope you guys have benefited from that. And you, young lady, when you get to kindergarten, she can join the Buddy Program. Thank you guys very much for serving. So with that, we're going to end with a prayer. And I'll take my bundle of joy. And there is some stuff in here, since I didn't want to disappoint. We'll hand this bundle of joy stuff out after church. But let's say a prayer. Thank you so, God. Thank you, dear God, for this day, for the children that have gone through the Buddy Program, for the witnessing of people like Elijah, and I know Haley's out there, Ruby's out there, that have gone through the Buddy Program and have benefited so much from the service and from the commitment that these adults have made. And we ask, dear God, that any adult out there that wishes to be a part of raising up children in this program, just make yourself known. In Jesus' name we ask for a blessing over everybody. Amen. Okay. So we're going to listen to special music, and then you head back with Miss Joan.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Okay. The title of this song is Joseph's Lullaby. You don't hear often of a man singing about his son, but this is a case. Okay. Go to sleep, my son. This manger's for your bed. You have a long road before you. Rest your little head. Can you see the weight of your glory? Do you understand the price? Or does the Father God your heart for now, so you can sleep tonight? Go to sleep, my son. Go and chase your dreams. This world can't wait for one more moment. go and sleep in peace. I believe the glory of heaven is lying in my arms tonight. Lord, I ask that He, for just this moment, simply be my child. Go to sleep, my son. Baby, close your eyes. Soon enough, you'll save the day. But for now, dear child of mine, oh, sleep time.
The scripture this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2. Verses 41 to 52. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw them, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen.
Please pray with me. Master, speak, thy servant heareth. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and our one certain and sure foundation. Amen. Being a parent is one of the most rewarding, fulfilling, joyful, stressful, anxiety-ridden things we will ever do. Children arrive in the world as tiny miracles, little bundles, full of possibilities. As infants coming in at 5+ pounds, they're completely vulnerable and dependent on us for survival. They cannot do anything for themselves. We have to put everything in their mouths. We have to take care of all of their needs, physical and emotional. Parents that are equipped to do so, and I say that because unfortunately, a lot of people are not prepared to be parents. But for those of us who are ready to be parents and equipped to be parents, we instinctively take on the protector role. And we have to shift our entire lives and our entire beings around these little bundles. We cannot even go to the 7-Eleven to get a cup of coffee, pick up a drink, nothing, unless we first think about, what is this child doing? Am I right, mother? She knows. Where are they gonna be? Are they gonna be safe until I get back? And we go through this almost forever. Now I thought, because I watch too much TV, that children after the age of 18 mysteriously and just go away. They do not. I did not know. I did not know that it was a straight trajectory from childhood to infancy to raising children, and off they go into the sunset and all will be well. It's not like that. I didn't know. Did you know? I didn't know. And the first child adds a layer of complexity because we have no idea what we're doing. The first child is the alpha test, the first test to see if the family unit will even function. We don't know. We don't know how this is going to go. And we can read books and talk to our elders and look around and ask our peers about their parenting experiences, but every child is different. That's the other gotcha. We don't know. There's no formula. There's no 1, 2, 3. Add this, shake this, and off they go. It's not like that. Each one, even if they're the same unit, they're all different. And yet, each one of them is fearfully and wonderfully made. Yet, my point here is how they evolve and grow is largely out of our control. My Lord, who knew? I know this firsthand because I have been the vessel that brought 3 children into this world, and all of them are very different. I love them all. I love them all. And so these are the things that came to mind as I reread this scripture and thought about Mary and Joseph as human beings, as human parents, and how they must have felt when they realized Jesus was not where he was supposed to be. He was not where he was supposed to be. Do you have children that don't always do what you think they're supposed to do, that don't always, or not always where you think? Can I get an amen? It's okay, say amen. I know you know what I'm talking about. It's okay. They don't always do what you want them to do. I want to take also a minute to just say that we need not impose our 21st century expectations on Mary and Joseph. For a moment, the movie Home Alone came to mind as I was preparing. It's a little different. Kevin and the McAllisters, and that situation was a little bit different. That unit functioned as it did, but Mary and Joseph's unit, family unit, and community unit was much different than anything that we have experienced. They were well within their rights and assumptions that Jesus was safe with their extended family and community. So just, it's not, they weren't being careless. They were right in our sense. It was Jesus that, whose behavior was something other than they expected. Again, where are we now? A child whose behavior is something other than we expected. We can all relate to that. But Jesus was working in his divinity, unlike Macaulay Culkin, Kevin. Jesus was working in his divinity from day one. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the sacred text, and of Jesus Christ, who was sent here by God, is that Jesus was both God and human. Don't overthink it, just believe it. Jesus, God in human form. Thank you, Lord. And so, when we look at Jesus' response, to his anxious mother. It sounds a bit sassy to us, but it's understandable given that Jesus knew his purpose from day one. This was him, we see him evolving. We just celebrated his birth on Wednesday, and already he's 12 years old. He's growing in the strength and the knowledge of his purpose, fulfilling his purpose. He's preparing for his God-given assignment. And aren't we glad that he was ready, even at the age of 12, to get on with learning and doing his job? Because that's what God sent him to do. It's still Christmas. We've closely examined all of the birth stories. But this one I remind you of because it is special in that Jesus' humanity and divinity is so right there. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there from the beginning, brothers and sisters. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, somebody say all. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Somebody say all.
All.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. Glory to God, the darkness did not overtake it. The darkness cannot overtake it. Oh, I'm happy about that this morning. I'm so happy about this morning. What's the application for us today? Because the scripture is alive. It's applicable. It has meaning for us. It will save us. It will ground us. Mary and Joseph's parental instincts were right on par, just like ours. We want to protect. We want to keep them safe. We want to know where they are at all times. And I remind you again, and I saw a lot of head nods, you know and I know that raising a child is not easy. It's a huge responsibility. And Mary and Joseph knew that they were going to do all they can. But they had a little easier than us because Jesus, again, knew his purpose right from the beginning. We have our own challenges. What we do is all that we can do to ensure that they will remain safe, happy, and healthy. But knowing that life is full of uncertainties, it's never too early to start thinking about how we're going to protect and ensure the well-being of our children. There are a few things we can do. There's a lot that we can do. First thing, as parents, we can pray for them and we can pray with them. We can show them how to establish a relationship with God early on. The other thing we can do is we've heard this morning is we can surround them with good people and a church community, like the buddy system. See how God works everything out? We can surround them with church folk, good people, and we can set a good example. But here it is, right here. Here's the punch. One sure thing. What's the one sure thing we can do? We can buy health insurance. We can buy life insurance. We can do all of that. We can buy the Gerber Grow Up Plan. We can do all of that. But here's the one sure thing. Here it is right here. The one sure thing that we can give our children as parents, as community, the one sure thing that will protect them and ground them and cover them and help them to live a purpose-driven life is to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. That's the one sure thing. Tell them, remind them over and over and over and over that Jesus Christ was born into the world while we were yet sinners. In other words, we didn't have to do anything. God knew that we weren't going to be able to do this on our own. So he sent us a savior, a redeemer, a gap filler, somebody, a spirit to stand in the gap for to do those things that we cannot do for ourselves. Somebody ought to say hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a word right there. That's a word right there. God sent us Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, while we were yet sinners, Mary's baby, in a little bundle that we could relate to in every way. God did that for us. Tell them, show them that Jesus Christ was born into the world, that the grace and the mercy that we receive from God is through Jesus Christ, and that's a gift that keeps on giving. Tell them, thank you. Tell them and show them that according to the teaching and example of Jesus, we are to love the Lord, our God, with all of our hearts, with all of our souls and all of our mind. This is the first thing. It's all, everything is wrapped up right there. And the second is this. There's two, actually, this is two parts. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Huh? Yourself. Self-love is the beginning of love for everything else. I think sometimes we skip over that, right? It's not, you can't pour out of an empty vessel. Self-care is godly. Care for yourself. They should tell them to care for themselves. And we can remember that we are to care for ourselves, love God with all of our might, and to love our neighbors. Brothers and sisters, that's it right there. The birth, the ministry, the life, the example of Jesus Christ gives us and our children this one sure thing. The insurance, the assurance, the promise that our lives can be complete and meaningful both right now, in this present age, and beyond. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. 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 Now we will sing collectively together this hymn of the church, Jesus, the Light of the World, found on page 129 in the blue hymnal and also projected on the screen. Sing it like you have a Savior. That's all I ask. Sing it like you have a Savior.
Oh,
God bless you. Now for our benediction, a parting prayer. By the power of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, may the light rekindle this Christmas season, illuminate your paths today, tomorrow, and forever. And God, please bless us and keep us until we meet again. Amen.
Amen.